This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a baby boy and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, what are you reading to your kids? Plus, Biz wants to hear Ella say those three magic words. Teresa is on the other side of Oscar's surgery, and we talk to performers Andrew and Polly about singing to kids.
Woo!
Bow! How are you, Teresa?
I'm not great today.
No?
No.
You're not?
Not even a little bit.
You're not loving it?
Totally not loving
it. I'm sorry.
I'm loving you, though. You're fine.
Well,
you're
I've had a coffee, guys.
No, first things first.
Please.
Oscar had his surgery last week. It was a success. He did great.
Yep. Oscar, 2 years old.
Yep.
He had surgery.
He's home. He's recovering. Yeah. I don't even know. I will just say.
I think the big question.
Okay.
That everybody wants to know.
Okay.
Is how was your moment?
My moment?
The moment that was without any, that you had no control over. The moment where you had to, like, literally watch him get wheeled away, which made us all fucking freak out.
Yeah.
In the inside and outside. How did the moment go?
I will say the circumstances of that moment were all a little bit better than I expected.
Okay.
But the way I felt was worse than I expected.
Wow. Okay.
And I think I'll just, like, never forget the way, like, seeing him going away. Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
I mean, I was just crying. I mean, it was just, it was just awful.
Yeah.
Like, and I just wanted to go with him. Like, it just felt so wrong to have him get wheeled away. He had been, they give them, like, a little, like,
happy
juice or whatever. And so he wasn't crying. He wasn't, like, calling for me or anything like that. But I just felt like I was betraying him.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, laying there totally, like, drugged out, you know?
Yeah.
And he was fine at that point, but it was, like, it just felt wrong.
Yeah.
It just felt completely wrong. But, it had to happen.
Yes.
And I will say, like, everything else leading up to that moment was, like, all the, like, not him not being able to eat and stuff was, like, so much worse than I expected it to be.
Like,
because they kept pushing everything back.
Yeah.
And so they didn't end up taking him until, like, 3:45 in the afternoon.
He could have eaten at, like, 10 in the morning.
He could have. And it was just, it was so hard. It was just such
a hard day.
It was so hard. And then, like, everything took forever getting back to see him afterwards. Like, we knew it had gone well, but, like, they hadn't brought us back to get him. And we're, like, sitting there, like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah.
We just want to, like, see him. And then, you know, we saw him. He was upset. He was really upset.
Sure.
Because it's upsetting.
It
and,
is.
Like, scary. And
yes.
Where am I?
Right.
And, like, what the fuck?
Yes. Those are all facts.
Yeah. Like, all of that
At any
stuff.
Age, that's a fucking fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for a two-year-old,
it's really unsettling. So,
yeah. It's
you have no context.
Totally.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a lot to be grateful for. It went well. He's healing well. He's just taking a lot of Tylenol and ibuprofen, basically. That's all they're giving him. But it seems to be, like, working pretty well. He doesn't seem to be in any pain. So that's really great. Everything else is just, you know, but kids are both sick again.
Yeah.
Like, they both have, like, colds and
you have, like, this now with all
with
the
all
other
the other stuff
that happens
yeah
all
like
the time.
Nothing else is better it's just everything else
was there waiting for you
exactly it's just December being December pretty much. So anyways, I thank you everybody for your well wishes for me and for Oscar. That was really nice hearing from some of you guys that you were all thinking of us last week, and you know, I really appreciate that. So
good.
How are you, Biz?
I'm all right, guys. We're just, you know, living the mom dream, as it were.
That sounds really good.
Doesn't it?
Tell us more about that.
In the mom dream, I'm sleeping all the time, and my children play peacefully by themselves or with each other.
Yeah.
Food magically happens and appears, and everyone wants to eat it. That's the dream that I'm currently living in my mind.
Okay.
What's
happening in real life?
In real life, same old. I don't know. Everybody's fine. We're all functioning.
Okay.
We're in one of those stretches where everybody's functioning.
Okay. Good.
On a level.
That sounds like mostly positive.
Yep, it's mostly positive.
Okay.
So every night, all the time, I tell my children I love them because I am a mom and that is what you do.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right. But every night, right before I put, Ellis down, we do our bedtime routine, blah, 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 and then, and I love you, baby boy. And last night, Stefan's putting him down. I've gone in to say my goodnight. And I say, I love you, Ellis. And he says, I love you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I mean, I hear it.
Yeah.
Stefan and I hear it. Now, at the same time, he may have said, I love juice. Or whatever. Because he's not even using the word love yet. You know what I mean? So it was like one of those things where he was like, because he's really good at processing stuff. Like he's, can identify all the records, that he likes to hear 24 hours a day. He, knows that onion's going out to take a poop in the morning. He knows the red milk is gone. He's with it.
Yeah.
But he's not, I know we're on the verge of the, this is this thing that I say.
So no matter what he says at this time of night, you're going to think
but he hasn't said anything even remotely close. I can remember so clearly when Katie Bell did it. I had been away on a conference and I'd been gone for like 10 days in Barcelona. And like she was just around two. I mean, she was like a little over two. So we had already moved to California. Mm-hmm. She was like 2.5. And she was in a toddler bed already. So she was like really, really there. And I came home and from the trip and I went in to see her and say goodnight. And she said, I love you, Mama. And I was like, Right?
So
and then it's on. It's so good. So I'm like, come on, Ellis. Come on. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Or let's love juice because I inadvertently introduced him to pineapple juice this week and now he's like a junkie. You're welcome, Stefan. Anyway, speaking of you're welcome and things that we do at the end of the day with our children or all day or really whenever, books. Today, it is amazing we have not talked about books on the show this far in. But today, we're going to talk about children's books.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Children's books. Always great.
Always fun.
Do you have a...
It's never too early to start reading.
That's true. I got to tell you, it is crazy the PSAs that are around here. I don't know if they're everywhere else, but there's like a big movement in California to be reading to your kids all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
Because
it's great.
It's good. It's a good thing to do.
It's good for bonding, not just for...
Word development and all that
stuff.
But
it's good for everything.
But this is not a show about the benefits of
books. Definitely not.
Do you have a favorite children's book? And I would like to say, just for this show, we're kind of steering clear of the, and surprise, maybe this isn't what you were thinking, Teresa, but I was thinking we would stay clear of more older kids' books. I was thinking like those first books, the beginning books, the first five, 1 to 6 years, the books. Do you have a favorite that you remember or a favorite that you read to your kids?
I do have a favorite that I read to my kids.
Okay.
My favorite children's book that I read to my kids is called Who Needs Donuts?
What?
And it's by Mark Allen Stamaty?
Stamaty? Let's make a list.
S-T-A-M-A-T-Y. I'm just saying I want people to have the author's name because I think he's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing book. We give it as a birthday gift sometimes to other kids in Simon's class. It's definitely more skews like a bit older.
Yeah.
I totally bought one for my sister's kindergarten class because I like wanted
Loved
her to have
so
that
much.
In her classroom. It's just, the way we came across it was Jesse and I were talking about how we love Maurice Sendak books so much. And they're so amazing. And they're such like a level above most of the stuff that's out there, like even great kids' books. But so we, at some point, Jesse started a thread online saying like, basically, like, what are some books, like, we want more like Maurice Sendak. What else is out there,
you know?
And somebody recommended Who Needs Donuts. And it's about this little boy who lives in this, like, home with his that near friends and family and
yeah.
animals and cool stuff going on. All the like illustrations are weird. There's like some there's like weird like horse heads on chicken bodies and
nice.
Stuff. Just a bunch of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
And this kid loves donuts so much that he decides to go to the big city and like pursue his love of donuts. And he meets this guy whose job is collecting donuts.
Wow.
And he helps him collect donuts. And they just collect donuts and it's the best. And he eats so many donuts. And then there's this like sad old woman who says, "Who needs donuts when you've got love?" and then, like, sure enough, at some point, this guy that he was helping to collect donuts falls in love with someone and just decides, I don't need to collect donuts. I'm going to go be in love with
right.
this woman. And basically, the little boy decides to collect donuts on his own after that. And it's kind of sad because
yeah.
he's doing it by himself.
Yeah.
And so he's like, "Eh, this isn't that fun anymore. And like eating the donuts doesn't feel that good anymore because I'm not that hungry anymore." And then like the sad old woman.
My drinking buddy has left
exactly,
me.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not as nearly as fun
totally.
To drink all this beer by myself.
Totally. It's kind of, yeah. And so then like the sad old woman has this like something crazy happens. Like there's like an explosion at the coffee factory or something. Anyways, the sad old woman is like drowning. And the boy dumps all of his donuts into her like basement apartment, and it soaks up all the
coffee
and saves this woman's life. And he's so happy, and now he doesn't need donuts because he has love.
Right.
And he goes home to his family. And it's just...
Oh, my God. Teresa, this is totally a parallel book for, like, addiction.
No, it's totally...
It's beautiful.
But
no,
I don't even think of it as... I think of it as it's got an amazing
yeah.
message for life because it also is, like, donuts are basically money, too.
Yeah.
They're money.
Exactly. They're,
and,
yes.
And so... But anyways, but what makes it magical is not just that, like, it has this great moral or
right.
whatever. You really... Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's short.
Yeah.
The illustrations are amazing. There's, like, new
nice.
Things that you see every time you look at it.
Mm.
And it's just, it's its own world. It's, like, a special world that is, like, a cool place to visit.
That's
Do you know
nice.
What I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah. No, I like that. We like a lot of those kind of books, too. We have not come across that book, which is amazing. But that is... I think one of the key elements, maybe we'll get into this in a little bit, what makes a great book, and I think art and illustrations can play so much into what makes a great book in terms of, like, spawning kids' imagination. I mean, I can remember as a kid being super absorbed in books that had a lot of detail
mm-hmm.
So in the illustrations, so that
yeah.
even after the story, I would go through... And really, like those big Richard Scarry books, even
oh,
like
yeah.
you know where it's just
totally.
Like town scenes and
yeah.
people,
and, you
and
would
I could
look
just
at the little like
every
paths
single
that they
person.
Would go down and the bicycles and
I used
all,
to
yeah.
be like this cat and this pig would date, you know, like but you would get way into
yeah.
those sorts of things.
Yeah,
all right, that's a good book. That's good.
Yeah,
I you know, it's hard. It's really hard for me because I the moment I had Katie Bell, I forgot how much. So many of these books meant to me, these kids' books,
mm-hmm.
like just were so impactful in my life. But I think the one that's like I associate with my mom, the one that my mother read to me all the time that I would say is our book, is The Runaway Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Which I just love. It's by the same woman, Margaret Wise, I think, who did Goodnight Moon.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, this little boy bunny is just going to be like, what if I ran off and, you know, became a... ran away in a boat. Well, I would become the wind and I would blow you home. And
yeah.
like, what if I was a bird? Well, I'll become a tree. And I just
yeah.
really sweet.
Yeah.
But there are two that I had forgotten all about until I went to a bookstore looking for Katie Bell, some books. And one is Mouse Tales. And it's a collection of short stories that are, you know, mouse, but they're all like very, I don't know. They're all like a little dark. You know, like there's the wishing well, and the little mouse throws a penny in the wishing well, and every time she does, it's like, ouch! And it's like really upsetting for her that she's hurting the wishing well and he won't grant any wishes. And so she realizes she can throw a pillow down there, and she throws a penny, and he's like, ah. And then the next picture is her with like a tiara and ice cream and like, you know, bell the ball. And there's another one where the guy's like, going to visit his mom, and he wears his shoes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he gets some roller skates. There's a guy by the side of the road selling roller skates. So he buys roller skates, and then the roller skates wear out. And there's a guy by the side of the road selling new feet. So he, you know, got some new feet and stuff. It's like, it's all like very weird. That's really good. And then My last one that I think ties into what I want, a thing I want to talk about in terms of children's books is I Am a Bunny by Richard Scarry.
I love I Am a Bunny. And that shit is
real. Yeah. I love I Am a Bunny.
I am a bunny.
My name is Nicholas.
I live in a hollow tree.
I fucking love that book.
I love that book, too. Did you read it as a child?
I read it as a child.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. When I pulled it out of the bookshelf, I was like, a million memories. Yeah. But it falls into a camp of books that I really like that I think Stefan came up with the right word for it, I think, which are meditation books. Mm-hmm. Those are like Goodnight Moon, I Am a Bunny, things like that where you do realize a year end that you can quote the entire thing.
Yeah.
You know, just... Yeah. Good night, room. Good night, moon. Yeah. Good night, cow jumping over the moon. Good night, pillows. Yeah. Good night, chairs. I mean, you know, all forever. But like the meditation books, I like something that I read that make me feel good.
Give you a good vibe. Yeah.
When I'm reading it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's winding us down.
I'm with you on that.
Love it.
Yeah. That's really good.
Now let's get into more interesting stuff.
Okay.
The thing that I think none of us really realize is going to happen after we have kids. And then we face, that is all the shit books that are out there.
Yep.
Just like some of the worst books. Do you know what I hate? And I know this is going to make people crazy, but it is one of the ones I hate. The Little Engine That Could.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that book so much.
No, nobody, people are with you on
that. Are they with me?
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like that's by like all the accounts, greatest book
no,
of all
by
time.
All accounts, it's like way too long. Even the abridged version. Yeah. You're like, why are we still reading this right
this
now?
This is long. Yeah. And like, I can't even really tell them. Going back as an adult, I'm like, I'm not sure the message is this little engine being able to do it. These other engines are dicks.
Yeah, they are.
And they are like seriously, there are children who need these presents. And you guys are like, fuck you. I'm, you know, I hate that book.
Yeah.
It's out of the house. Like immediately people have given it to us twice.
Oh.
And I just take it right out.
Uh-huh.
I want that shit up in the house. It's like my kids are never going to know that Barney exists. They're not going to know that there were three other Star Wars movies, and they're not going to know that The Little Engine That Could is a book that they could read in our house.
There haven't been many books that I've like preemptively gotten rid of, but I'll tell you one of them.
Oh.
That this might actually be controversial, I'm not sure. But I'm sure a lot of people agree with me. The Giving Tree.
Oh.
I can't do it. I can't. I can't because you know what? It stabs me through the heart. And it makes me mad. It doesn't give me like a
good... That kid is kind of a jerk.
Well, but it's not even about the kid. It's just that I'm like pissed at... I think it's Shel Silverstein,
right? It's Shel Silverstein, yeah.
I'm sorry, Shel Silverstein. But I understand the point is like to teach empathy or something. But like... I don't need to be taught empathy. So to me, it just makes me feel sad and bad about life. Like it just, it makes me, it feels like it's like so emotionally manipulative. Like it's like, it's like, look what happened when this boy tried to live his life. And this, I mean,
I haven't looked at this book in a really long time. I mean, it was read as a kid a lot, and it was read a lot, used in at the Christian camp I went to, the summer camp.
Yeah.
So they would do that a lot about like how like God is the tree.
The guilt. It's
and
guilt.
That you can just take and keep stripping from him. And it's because for me, that was the big thing was they were like, you know, come swing on my vines and, you know, you're all, that's it. Thank you. Now I remember it.
Okay.
Come. He keeps calling him back.
Yeah.
Come back to me. Come back to me and take more from me.
And it's so sad. I'm like already starting to cry. And then he like ends up chopping down the tree.
The tree to build his house.
Yeah.
You can keep using everything. And then when you're so old.
And then he's old and sad. And he comes and
crying in here, guys.
It's so sad.
It is
It's so sad. And it's like. And it's.
I think I can, Teresa. Come back to me. Come back to me.
No, but it's just so sad.
That is sad.
And I don't feel like I get something. Like, I understand sadness for, like, a purpose.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I get that, like, sometimes we feel sad and, like, sometimes it feels
good. Cram it down,
sometimes
everybody.
Sometimes it feels good to feel sad. But that book is so heavy-handed.
Okay.
And especially for little kids. Like, I'm just like, what does this do for my kids? Like, I just, it makes me so mad. So anyways, Jesse actually got that for the house, and I showed it to him, and I was like, this I can't keep in the house. I'm not keeping this here. We're giving it away immediately. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, sometimes in relationships, it's better to just say, okay.
Yeah.
Done. He just keeps it tucked under the mattress, and he just pulls it out, and he's like, I love you, little tree. I will come and chop you down. All right. Good to know. wait for that discussion to come up. Christmas presents canceled, guys. No, but you know what? That ties into, I was surprised at how much I kind of hated some Dr. Seuss books when I brought those back out. Like, not necessarily because of content, but I was like, this is the longest book I've ever read. I like The Cat in the Hat.
They're so long.
And Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Katie Bell doesn't
fish,
know
fish,
certain
fish, blue fish.
Well, I have the abridged version. I have the toddler version of that. I didn't even know there was more fish in that. I have like a 5-page version of them. I'm like, mine ends with, this one has a little star. Say, what a lot of fish there are. The end. That's that book.
Okay.
But I go bust out Green Eggs and Ham with Katie Bell, and I just started like grabbing 3 pages at a time. And turning.
Oh, right, sure. So you can do that.
80-page book, however fucking long that book is, suddenly became like 10 pages.
Sure.
It was maddening. And I got angry, and I just don't even pull them out anymore.
Do you, because we have a two-book thing at bedtime. Like, we do 2 books at bedtime. That's the limit. Like,
okay.
And so then they just always expect 2 books, so that's just always what it is. But it's kind of funny because, you know, sometimes it happens that we have a little bit more time, so I'm always trying to pick out just longer books, because the reality is 2 books doesn't really mean anything. Man. Like, sometimes you can pick out 2 really short books and you're done in like under 2 minutes, and it's weird.
Yeah.
But then other times they pick out, like if they were to pick out 2 Dr. Seuss books, we'd be there for an hour.
Yeah, you'd be there for fucking ever.
Yeah.
We do like 4 or 5 books.
Oh, okay.
We do a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
With Ellis, they're all still pretty short. They're not like mega books.
Yeah.
And with Katie Bell, once she got a little older, we would get into a place where I'm like, well, this one's a really long one. This one sort of equals 2 or 3 books.
Yeah.
And this one, we could read 3 of these.
Yeah.
And now she just, blessed reading.
She reads by herself?
We read books to her still at night, because it's just part of our routine.
Yeah.
And then she has a clock in her room that she's now figured out that when it says, you know, 8:30, she turns her light off, and she just sits around and reads.
Wow.
And she actually does it.
That's so cool.
It is.
Cool. That is so
fucking
cool.
Magic.
That's great.
Kids learning how to read is like a magic pill. Do the kids read it again? Do they like read it again? Katie Bell was not a read it againer.
Uh-huh.
She was like a one and done-er in terms of books. While Ellis is like good. Like, we never read Goodnight Gorilla with Katie Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Goodnight Gorilla has been introduced to our house. It's a lovely book.
Mm-hmm.
It's very short. There's like one sentence, you know, goodnight gorilla. Goodnight lion. Good night, giraffe. Good night, armadillo. And then all the animals like follow him into his house, and I'm like, so I have to fill in where there's no writing. Going into his house.
Yeah,
she's turning off the light. And then she, like, the wife is like, good night, and everyone, good night. And she's like, oh my.
And
I fill this all in because there's no like thing. And then she walks them back to the zoo while the husband's now asleep. And she's like, good night, zoo. But the gorilla keeps following her back and talks. Anyway, it's very sweet. But there's nothing to it.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's another one of those examples where the art is so good that you can be like, on every page, the balloon is there that's gotten away. On every page, the moon is there. Can you find it? Like,
It's like endless stuff
to do.
There's
endless stuff
to
do. And it really, but Ellis will be like, again, again. Again, winking, blinking, and nod again, 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 again. So sometimes I'm
what do you do?
I just read it. I'm like, it's fucking Goodnight Gorilla.
Yeah.
I could give 2 shits.
Yeah.
It's when he wants something like, somebody gave us this beautiful version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had the artist's name, because he's done a couple of things where he doesn't have words in the books. He does like the lion's paw and he does the tortoise and the hare with no words. And it's beautiful to read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star with like 7 verses of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star that I didn't know existed.
I think I know that book.
And it's...
I don't like that book.
I fucking hate that book.
Yeah, I don't like that book.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
You know what's... Okay, my kids sometimes ask for it again. I think I do the same thing. But what I've noticed is there's some books now that at the end of the book...
Yeah.
It'll say, again? And I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm not going to read that out loud.
I'm not going
to tell my kids that the book tells you to read it again at the end.
Yeah,
like,
Piggy and Elephant is a series of characters by, why am I totally blanking on him? It's Piggy and Elephant. He did Nuffelbunny. He did
Mo Willems.
Yeah, Mo Willems. I love all his stuff, but Piggy and Elephant are fantastic. And there is one where it's like, it starts off with Piggy saying, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Elephant's like, what? And it goes through the whole process. We are in a book. So somebody's reading us.
Oh.
And it's how hilarious you can get us to say bananas and all that kind of shit. It's really fun. And at the very end, it's like, let's see if we can get them to read it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, so thank you.
You just own it.
Yeah.
That.
And you're like, oh, yeah. You got it.
Yeah. That's when you don't want your kids to be able to read. Yet.
Yeah.
Like, thank God my kid can.
See? And everything at the end of Poltergeist was great. That house was clean. It's my mother.
Wait, so I have a question that what you were telling me about the Goodnight Gorilla story made me think of, which is like performance.
Oh,
like,
I
want to know, like, so, because.
Come on.
Okay. But do you and Stefan, like, compete?
No, okay.
A little bit?
All right, no. don't compete. We don't. We do tell stories differently.
Okay.
We do. Sometimes I'll listen in to see how he's doing it, so I keep it the same, because sometimes the kids can get pissed if you're not, like, delivering that line the same way. Like, Katie Bell, there's a book that her grandparents gave her called This Book Has No Pictures, or There Are No Pictures in This Book.
Oh, Simon was just telling me about
great.
This book. He was, like, asking me to get
hilarious.
It. He was obsessed with it. They read it at school.
It's really good.
Oh, okay.
But it's how this book manipulates the reader into doing all this hilarious stuff.
Okay.
And see, kids, you don't need pictures because of all this.
Okay.
But, like, wow, Stefan set the bar, and then no one could read it the same way. Here, I will say, I do have some performance guilt or anxiety. Mm. My mother used to read to us every Christmas. Mm. She would bust out The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, which is a really amazing little book.
Mm-hmm.
And she would read it. I have memories of my sister and I sitting there on the couch until we were too old to probably be sitting there listening. And Mama reading it and giving these kids these voices. And there's like a one-eyed, three-legged, nasty cat. And just like, I'm going to shove a bushy willow so far down in your ear. I can just hear all the things that she did. And I still could sit there and listen to her read the story to me. Matter of fact, she came to visit New York once. And I made her get on stage and read a chapter of it because I was so taken by her how she read it. And I hate it when I'm reading things to Katie Bell and she is not as into my performance with some of the older books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we haven't brought that book out yet, but...
You mean, like, does Katie Bell try to get you to tone it down or something?
No,
like,
doesn't give two shits.
Well, but... Okay,
I mean,
If she's not giving you feedback, I think safe to say, like, you're her mom.
Katie Bell, how did you like that?
Well, I mean, some kids will be like, oh, I don't say it like that,
Really?
Or I don't like that, or like, yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so yes.
I'm sure that she appreciates.
Oh, thank God, guys. Okay, one last little category of things that make us, I'd like to just end on things that make us fucking nuts about kids' books. And I think, for me... Mm-hmm. It may try and limit us, but we'll see what happens to two categories.
Okay.
One is books that are purely based on television shows or commercials that aren't
just like marketing.
They're just
basically.
like marketing books. Yeah. Branding books. Like we had the one that like Stefan makes him like want to punch somebody in the face. Is Katie Bell went through a very brief phase with the Backyardigans.
Really early.
That show is the worst.
It's the worst.
It's so outside of the pirate episode.
Yeah.
That is bad. It's badly animated. It's badly written. The music's horrible. But, you know, I just needed to... Sometimes we'd just be like, oh, get this shitty book. Because, you know, I don't know, stocking stuff or whatever.
Yeah,
and it was The Backyardigans, Tasha's Tea Party. And it's the worst. It's the worst book. It's just... Junk.
It is literally junk. Yeah, and we end up with them because the Scholastic book orders come home from preschool.
Oh, yeah.
And so Simon sees them and gets really excited about whatever it is he's into. Like, we ended up with, like, a Paw Patrol book
is
basically... It came with stickers, which, yay.
Yeah.
And then it just had each page, one of the characters saying their name and what they like to say on the show and the type of vehicle
like
that they drive. And that
space.
Is the book. It's just marketing.
Yeah.
It's totally marketing.
Yeah. Hot Wheels, reader series.
Yeah.
And like, well, like we did that princess, you know, sight words collection. Because I was like, if it gets rid of fucking reader sight words, fine.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but those are the worst.
I just have to say, we have this Frozen Christmas, Frozen A Christmas Party story that came home. And it's supposed to be really simple with like big words, big letters so that kids can learn to read or whatever. But... It's like, It's so amazing what a piece of shit it is. It's amazing. So it starts out that they're getting ready for this. Elsa and Anna are getting ready for this Christmas party.
Sure. They are princesses. They have things to do.
Yeah. And the sad part is, like, Anna passes out treats. And Elsa is making ice sculptures with her magic. So it's like, but they say it like those are like equal. Like, right. Anna passes out treats. And like Elsa's like creating these
making
spectacular.
It snow.
Yeah.
She's affecting the weather.
Yeah. And then later, and then they go outside and have a snowball fight inexplicably. And
yeah.
Anna uses this like gigantic slingshot to like throw snowballs with, which now Simon thinks you need a slingshot to play with snow.
Yeah.
Los Angeles child.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And then it just goes, and then you think we're going to come back and have the party, but then it just goes, the last page is just later, Anna knocks on Elsa's door. And then you turn the page and it says, parties are fun, but sisters are the best. And it's just the two of them hugging. And that's it. That's the whole book.
It's like a computer wrote it.
It is like, totally like a computer
yeah,
wrote
I
it.
I think that's what those are. It's like, here's like a whole bunch yeah. of like dialogue from stuff. And then a computer just puts some things together. And it's like, you're right. We have a lot of those kind of books that come into the house where there's no story.
Yeah.
There's no... It's almost like each page is its own thing, but it kind of ties together because of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. Where it's like, and the party was great.
Yeah.
What party?
What party?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
never happened.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, for me, my version of that is the sort of dystopian universes that are created in books where animals uh-huh. are people,
uh-huh.
and yet they still have pets,
uh-huh.
and they still have, like...
Do they still have cats and dogs? What's an example
the
of
one,
this?
The one that makes me... That's out of the house.
Okay.
It's called Firehouse.
Uh-huh.
And it's about these... Yeah.
Edward and Judy?
The dog. I hate that
My
dog.
Kids love
that is
that
the
book.
Dumbest dog. I'm
He's
like, there's
really
something.
Dumb
that dog is an idiot. And that
Do you
dog.
You remember when they had a parade for him?
Yeah, they had a parade. There's just like something about his face, and I'm like, I am like, really hate this dog. And this dog shouldn't be allowed to come work at the firehouse. But anyway, it's this society where clearly every body of importance are dogs
yeah.
and he rescues a kitten out of the tree
yeah.
and there's like even a really like remarkable size difference between the dog people
yeah.
and the cat that they're rescuing
yeah.
and then there's another one where it made me I would slam the book shut. It made me so crazy. I'm like, why is this cat like this? How did this happen?
Yeah.
And there's another one. It's called Arthur. It's based on its author, Arthur
from the
Aardvark, from the
yeah,
PBS show.
Yeah.
There is one out there. I was at the library and I was just like pulling books out and looking. And I was like, oh, Arthur, it's the Night at the
yeah.
Museum. Maybe Katie Bell would be interested in this.
Yeah.
And I'm scanning through it. Arthur gets separated from the class. Now, in the Arthur universe, he's like an art. It's many different animals.
Okay.
Okay, so there's like an aardvark. He's an aardvark. And like Binky is a dog. He's like a big bulldog guy,
okay.
right? And there's like, I don't know what the fuck. Mr. Ratburn's a rat. I mean, like everybody's okay. a bunny. There's a bunny.
Different animals.
Now, both of those guys own pets. They own a dog and another one owns a cat.
Huh.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
But Arthur's at the museum and he gets separated. And he finds himself, like, in the back of a diorama of, like, the first Thanksgiving or whatever. So there are Indians and pilgrims. And they are people.
Huh?
They are people. So I'm like, I literally was like, there's a larger story happening here.
Yeah.
Where now the world is
animals. The world has been taken
by
over
animals,
by animals.
As opposed to just...
Except for the pets. Except for the ones that are
except
pets.
Except for the, yeah, the pet category of these animals. The ones that can't grow as well. I don't know. And then, like, but what happened to man? Because clearly, only a couple hundred years ago, man was there, right?
Right.
In the Pilgrim Thanksgiving thing. It's not like
right.
this is way into the future. People are still carrying backpacks and riding the bus.
Right.
Seems like there's a big feature at the museum we're not hitting.
Yeah.
As
Which
these
is
kids
the
go through
end
that.
Of humans. The
end, the end of mankind. So that, like, makes me bananas.
Yeah.
I really hate that.
I hear you.
Thank you. Well, that was exciting.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Learn Learning to read is the single most important skill that kids need to learn, yet so many of them struggle by the time they hit grade 3.
Now there's an app for that, Ooka Island.
It's designed to be as fun as any non-educational kids app out there, so that they'll love playing and not even realize they're learning to read.
What's really great for parents is that it's all based on research, and it really works.
To try the first level, about an hour and a half of play, for free, go to OokaIsland.com/onebadmother. That's OOKAISLAND.com/onebadmother. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Last night, I was trying to make dinner, and two small children, ages 4 and 2, were doing that thing where they, like, just hover at you, like, hovering, like, right at your feet, like, right there. And they're kind of complaining, and they're kind of hungry, and they kind of just, like, won't go away. And I'm trying to, like, cook.
Go away, kid. You're
and
bothering me.
It was so weird because usually when it gets to that, there's usually nothing I can do other than, like, turning on TV for them or something. Like, they're just there, you know? And the only way that ever works is, like, they're already interested in something. I sneak away and make dinner, you know? But so they're just there. They're bugging me. Instead of just freaking out and yelling at them, which is what I felt like doing.
Plan A.
I just, like, I just tried something, which was I said, hey, guys, why don't you go get your potato heads and set up a cool display for me and surprise me with it? And for some reason, that
worked
right then. Like, I don't know why. It's
who
one
cares?
Of those things
who
that who knows, but it worked. It was perfect.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
You nailed that.
Yeah, thanks. How about you?
I did a craft with my children.
All right.
I did it.
Good job.
It was really easy.
What did you do?
So I saw a thing online. You take cookie cutters. You put some parchment paper on an oven tray, right? Mm-hmm. You put your cookie cutters on it. You fill that with the beads.
Mm-hmm.
And you could either be like Ellis and just dump beads into the cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
No real work. Or you can, like, make the legs a color or the whatever color, depending on your ornament. I mean, your cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Stick them in the oven. Stink your house up with some plastic. It's fine. And then they come out. And they're ornaments.
Whoa.
And then, like, they're beautiful. They, like, it's like doing a stained glass project out of plastic beads.
Oh.
And it took, like, you know, for Katie Bell, it took a little longer because she wanted to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Ellis just dumped it and was great. And I sent him off with, you know, Stefan. And then I just, you know, hot glue a string on the end after they're done.
Yeah.
They turned out really cool.
That's awesome.
And it
That's
was like
so
we
cool.
did something that will then be on the tree.
Yeah.
And who knows if anybody truly appreciates that other than myself.
We all do.
But
we
I got into some Christmas fucking spirit.
Good
guys.
Job.
Did it.
So I recently was getting ready for the day and my husband was getting ready to go to work and our 21-month-old needed to be dressed and he needed to have his fingernails clipped. And my husband said, "What can I do?" And I said, "You can dress him. He also needs his fingernails clipped, but I'll do that." And then I went to get ready, and I was like, "What is wrong with me?" And so I went back into the room and said to my husband, "Actually, you can clip his fingernails, too." I don't know why I was hoarding that little chore like
no,
a
right?
fun and exciting activity to share with the 21-month-old. So now, guess what we have? Two adults in our house who are indeed capable of trimming our child's fingernails. I felt like a genius because I turned that one around. You guys are great. I love the show. Thanks.
That
it's so good.
I feel like cheering.
I know. The genius is realizing the hoarding of the horrible chores.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why we do that.
Yeah.
We all do that.
We all do it.
We all do it.
Yeah.
Just do the simple thing, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll do the
And it's so dumb.
Yeah.
And any residual resentment that comes from that is on us.
Totally.
It is our fault.
Totally.
If we feel resentful about that.
Yeah.
Everybody's capable of doing everything. Good job.
Good job.
Love it.
So cool.
failures.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Teresa.
Okay, on the morning of Oscar's surgery, I was taking Simon to school and I needed to leave his car seat at school because somebody was going to take him home that day.
Correct.
And I had, you know, I'd brought him to his classroom. I had Oscar with me. Oscar's back in his car seat. And I'm getting Simon's car seat out of the car. And it's a newish car seat, which I guess I haven't had to take out of the car yet a single time.
Right.
Because if I had, I would have figured out that I have no fucking idea how to get it out of my fucking car. And I seriously sat there for 20 minutes.
Oh.
Like, physically, I was sweating because I was working so hard at trying to get it out. I could not get it out. I could not get it out. And I couldn't find the manual in the car. I was Googling the manual on my phone. I couldn't figure out how to do it. Called Jesse. I'm like yelling at him over the phone.
How would you put this on the fucking fire?
I mean, I'm the one that installed it. I just couldn't get it out.
Oh,
I could not get it out. Jesse's looking it up. He's trying to tell me what to do, but he's having a hard time figuring out the instructions. I can't, literally cannot do it. Oscar, at this point, has been up.
Yeah.
It's like 10 a.m.
Yeah, he's done.
He's been up since 5 and hasn't eaten anything.
Yeah.
He's crying.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there next to me crying. And I basically, I mean, I was...
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. So I ended up just having Jesse stop what he was doing and drive over with his car and take the Simon car seat out of his car and leave it at school. And I just left.
Jesus. Wow.
That's it.
That's awful.
It was horrible.
That's awful.
I still don't know how to get that out of my car.
That's amazing.
It's just going to be there forever.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Get in it, 15-year-old Simon.
Yeah.
Wow. Awkward. Okay, I believe I've mentioned Ellis's sleep is, it's just, it's fluctuating. He's still, you know, like the nap thing's all over the place.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to find a new nap time. Well, everybody in the house has found a new nap time for him, but me.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought, and he's really committed to now, he's moved himself back to waking up at 5 a.m. It used to be that he would wake up at like 5:30, 6. We were going through a 6 stretch for a while, and it was heaven. But he's really consistently, and it's getting a little hard, but he still goes to bed at 5:30.
Okay.
You know,
so
because he's not
really
napping,
sleep,
right? You know, he's sleeping great. It's us.
Right.
And I'm like, well, he's 2. You know, when are we going to have him start eating dinner with the family? And by eating dinner with the family, that means me and Katie Bell because of Stefan's schedule. So, like, it's really about when am I ready to start cooking dinner for everybody with this 2-year-old.
Yeah,
Because the luxury of having him go to bed early is I put him down and I have this, like, 30-minute window of, like, calming, cleaning, cooking, settling down for the next wave of put-downs. So this weekend I was like, hey, why don't we mess with it? Let's push it till, you know, 6, 6:30. Let's push it an hour, see what happens. We'll all have dinner together. It was a fucking nightmare.
Okay.
It was too much. He was, like, tired. You had to do so much with him. And that was with 2 of us doing it.
Yeah.
And we're, like, making dinner. It's like, it couldn't be easier. It's chicken and rice kind of a dinner.
Yeah.
Stuff that everybody likes. He wouldn't eat it. And at the same time, we're, like, with Katie Bell, who doesn't want to eat it. And we're doing with her the, well, this is your dinner.
Yeah.
This is your dinner.
Yeah. So
you like all these elements. You have to do it. And you can't then be like, would you like something else,
Ellis? Right.
Turned into this, like, no one's eating. Everybody's, like, yelling.
Nightmare.
It was, and then when you put him down, and he still woke up at 5 o'clock. And I know that that's, like, a long.
It takes a week or two to catch up.
But I just said to Stefan, nope.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
This house will continue to be some weirdo, like, nighttime, morning show.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing this now.
Yeah.
This is too much for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, like, it was family dinner.
Yeah.
May never happen in our house. That is the failure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I'm calling with a fail. It can't be called anything other than a fail. It's so bad. We had dinner outside last night, and it's mid-October, so it's like one of the last nights we're going to get to be outside. So we thought it was going to be awesome. But, of course, it was a disaster. The kids were getting down and running around the deck with their food and making a huge mess. And my son, in the middle of dinner, decided he had to go to the bathroom and asked me to come inside with him. So to distract my 18-month-old daughter, I saw a bug crawling across the deck, and I said, hey, go look at that bug for a minute. So she toddled off to go explore the insect while I shovel a forkful of food in my mouth and get my son inside to the bathroom. When I come back outside, like 3 seconds later, she's screaming because what I thought was a beetle was a bumblebee. And she touched it and it stung her. And she had a giant bee stinger hanging out of her finger.
Oh, my God.
Screaming bloody murder. And I felt like such an asshole. What I thought was going to be like a fun, maybe educational distraction for a few seconds was awful. And now she's got a big swollen finger.
Oh.
And I feel like such a jerk. So that's my fail. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Here, baby. Go touch that bee. Go touch the bee. Go touch the bee.
Bees are important.
Try to catch it.
See if you catch the bumblebee.
See what it tastes like. What does it taste like?
You know what's really easy to do? Catch bumblebees, actually. They're the one insect that's almost daring you to catch
them.
They hang out. They're like, oh, are you having a smoothie? I want some of your smoothie. Yeah. Right? I love.
Oh, God.
Here's the upside. You discovered your child's not horribly allergic to bumblebees.
True.
Because we're just waiting for that to happen in our house. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Who knows? They never know. That's the little mystery of bugs. Well, you are a horrible mother. And I love so much how the calls now come so quickly to the fail. Like, people are just like, I'm literally failing my child as I speak. Yeah. I have to call one bad mother.
Yeah, we've not got as many of those like setups that try to
explain.
Like, look, I'm actually a really good mom and I love my kids, but this happened. We just cut straight to here's what happened.
Yeah, good job, everybody. Just committing right away to the fail because we all know you're doing a good job.
Yes.
We don't need that setup.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, you're horrible.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you, I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Casper, an online retailer of premium, obsessively engineered mattresses at a shockingly fair price.
And they're made in America.
Casper has a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns.
One Bad Mother listeners can get $50 towards any mattress purchase if you go to casper.com/badmother, all one word, and use promo code badmother, all one word, at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Woo! Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call some parents.
All right.
We're going to talk to a mom and a dad today.
Cool.
It's the holidays. I'm feeling festive. today, we are calling Andrew and Polly, who make fun and smart music for kids and families, including the credits for songs like songs from Wally Kazam, and they did the score to Welcome to Wayne and The Outsiders. They've got their album Odds and Ends, which received a Parents' Choice Award, and they have a new holiday album that's just coming out, and a new podcast just for kids called Ear Snacks. Welcome, Andrew and Polly.
Hello.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for having us,
Vision Teresa. You guys
are infectious.
Yeah, you're infectious.
Yeah.
You're infecting me. You are now. It's good
in like a really good way.
In a really good way. We're having a good time.
Good vibes.
We're gonna start with the question that's maybe the easiest question for you guys because you're both here. That we always ask our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Ooh, let's see. Well, there's me. I'm Andrew.
And there's me. I'm Polly.
And there is our 1.5-year-old son Izzy, and
we have a dog. Like an old hound mix named Lily, who's 12.
Oh, Lily! We will not derail the show and talk about dogs like we always do with our guests. We're growing. I know. Well, that's just it. It's so easy. It's very easy. Okay. In your press, you are noted as saying that you guys did not want to be rock stars. You just wanted to make fun music. And I've always wondered about people who go into, in particular, music for kids. About like what drives them, okay? Because, for example, if you want to be a rock star, right, you decide what kind of rock star you want to be. You have some idols. You play some clubs. You sell your soul. Boom. Rock star, right?
You forgot about the drugs.
The drugs. Well, the drugs. The drugs.
Okay.
Heavy. I would assume that. I just thought it goes without saying the heavy level of drug usage in children's music. but I did not know if this was the same.
Yeah. Mostly coffee.
A lot of coffee. A lot of coffee. But like kids' music It's very easy to sort of credit it as a one-note genre field. And I wonder, like, when you make the decision, is it like, okay, there are all these different genres. There's like, you know, do we want to be They Might Be Giant kind of kids performers? Are we more of the, like, Rafi? Do we want to be on PBS doing bumpers? Are we, you know, like, what are the different sort of genres and how did you identify what you wanted to do in that world?
Well, there's a ton of different genres probably represented in kids' music. There's a huge movement right now of independent children's musicians not affiliated with a label. You know, some of them might be local acts that grow a little bit. Some of them, you know, might be regional. Some of them might have a national following. You know, the internet makes us be able to reach people everywhere. And so, you know, I think you kind of think of children's music as like a guy with a guitar, like in the corner of the library, but you know, there's ska kids music. There's hip hop. You know, there's definitely kind of like folk and,
country
and, pop as well. And I think, you know, some people are into that music and then they come to children's music because they have kids. And some people just don't really want, or haven't succeeded at like the rock star life in a particular genre, but they find that they have a way to like really connect with children. And so like there are some people that like basically will have like a PG or a rated G like album of whatever genre it is you already like in your world. That's a lot of the time produced very well. I mean,
yeah, most people in bands just want to make music, and if they have an audience, it could be kids and families.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we always said we didn't want to be rock stars because the emphasis to us wasn't really on performance. It was more about kind of. Yeah, it was more about like kind of connecting with families and getting them to sing and them to look at each other rather than looking at us. And you know, sometimes that happens, and sometimes it's the other way around. But we kind of tend to skip around genres a lot, which is either to our credit or to our detriment, because our day jobs, or I should say like 50% of what we do is make music for commercials and television, children's television, independent film. And so we're kind of comfortable writing and recording and playing in a lot of different genres.
I want to say there's something. I was listening to some of the songs, and I think one of the things that makes me nuts, I mean, kids' music is one of those areas where I think as a performer, I could sort of imagine this, like, I'm going to totally make it in kids' music. That's like the easy field to make it in, right? You know, and then, so there's like that sort of side of it, which is super insulting to people who make kids' music. And then there is, it's a category that's easy to beat up. It's a category that's easy for people to be like, I fucking hate kids' music, and I'm going to include everything in it, no matter what. But there is an element, and clearly what you do for a living helps you with this. But I think one of the things that makes me crazy about kids' music is when an artist who is probably from Camp A, this is really easy, and I can just go become a kids' musician without any real work, starts to make music, and they're like, now I'm doing country. And it's like the most insulting version of what country is. Or even worse, I'm going to do hip-hop elements in it, and it's really insulting to hip-hop performers everywhere.
And it definitely exists.
Yeah, but I was going to say, there's your music. You actually do a really good job of, when you add these sorts of elements in, it sounds like you actually have professionals who do these musical elements singing with you. You know what I mean? Is that correct, or are you guys just that good?
I don't know if we're that good, but it is just us. We do occasionally. I mean, we have a musical community here. We live in near Los Angeles, and you know, we collaborate with other songwriters, adults, you know, who are writing adult music, who are writing kids music. We collaborate with other musicians and we play in their bands sometimes. And so, you know, we do have a little musical community, so we will bring in some people.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Biz, like you're, you know, the thing that's annoying in any art form or any really any media that you consume is when you feel like people are talking down to you. Yeah. And that's true for kids too. Like kids are smart. Like they're not, you know, they might be crazy and they might have, you know, not know how to act it a lot of the time, but they, you know, they don't need you to like, they can tell when grownups are like trying to treat them like, oh, you just like a little sweet song, you know. And,
right.
And some kids, you know, that's true in like any genre. That you can do that in any genre, or you can treat them with respect and like try and, you know, do something that sparks their imagination and talks to them on their level, but that doesn't, you know, treat them like they can't, you know, think for themselves and like have and make, get a funny joke or like or get, you know, do something that's kind of cool and like touching.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. We've talked about that in a couple of things. Like, we did a show recently on like TV shows and movies, like what do you show your kids?
Yeah.
And like where the stuff that I think, you know, was more okay in earlier generations of saw like in of TVs, they've kind of softened up a lot. And I was thinking about this with music. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite performers when I was a kid that my mom played for us was a guy named Sam Hinton. And it was like one of my favorite songs from that, and just spoke to who my family was whoever shall have some good peanuts and giveth his neighbor none. Well, he can't have any of my good peanuts when his good peanuts are gone. And it's like this whole song about like, oh, want to be joyful, joyful, joyful. Like when his stuff is gone, and he goes through the whole thing. And all of it's kind of like weird. And it's like a song about his dog dying and just how much he loves his dog. And I'm just like drinking wine and remembering my childhood when I listened to it. But like it was, but like what you're saying, there, it spoke to me as a kid. It never... I think I would have lost my mind and been a totally different person if all I ever got was the, you know, really dumbed down, hokey stuff and not the stuff that had levels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very fair to say.
The song that has been played the most of ours is called Grape,
yeah.
That Polly wrote while she was pregnant. And she, I don't think it was an actually true story. I don't think you were actually at a party.
I was.
You were at a party?
Yeah, I was.
And you did not need to be there anymore.
Right.
And so the song, you know, it's kind of an earwormy song. And like, you know, I can totally see how some people might, you know, oh, I've heard that song enough. It's kind of just talking to kids and like, we don't need that. But really, you know, it has both levels.
That's a kind of a good example because it was like
everyone wants to go home sometimes.
Such a personal experience, but like it was just this thing that happened one day, and I didn't think anybody would want to hear the song about it. And I probably sang that chorus to myself for a good year, and had five people say, "Write the rest of that song. Write the rest of that song," before we sat down and did it.
Yeah.
But I was like, why would a kid want to hear? I mean, everybody likes Grapes, but like, why would a kid want to hear some bizarre story? But it turns out kids are just very interested in the way other people think, mm-hmm. the way they feel, the kinds of lives that they lead. You know, they only know what they have at home.
Yeah.
And so one of the best things about any music, but kids' music that's developmentally appropriate, is it gives them kind of like a place to go that's not where they already are.
That's very smart.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
That's very smart. Because really like that's very true. I mean, you do. I mean, like, you know, all the music that I love and that we all love is definitely windows into other worlds. They may touch on things that we can relate to, but some of your favorite music is stuff that is totally, you know, not of your world. We have had a lot of musicians who make music for adults, and they have kids, hence why they're on the show. And one of the things we always ask them is, you know, what do your kids think of your music? And most of the time, they respond the same way Teresa and my children respond to us when we pull out our guitars and start trying to sing fucking anything, which is, shut up! Even Katie Bell, as a small, like at one and two, was like, oh, no, mama, no, mama, stop, right? Like, mama, stop.
That's terrible.
Oh, it's the life. No, and I was trying to sing some Sam Hinton. Don't you know? These are the classics. Anyway, it's okay. It's okay. We're all fine. I've had my therapy. But even like these people who are like selling out like major venues, their kids are like, put on the Raffy, like, or whatever. Like, they don't want to have anything to do with that. But what holds true for you guys with Izzy?
Well, we're lucky. He is like just a little over a year and a half. So we're still like pretty cool to him.
Yeah.
Like, when he's seven, you know, we fully expect like a whole bunch of eye rolling up there. But right now,
he's like bouncing and stuff.
So far, you know, he's totally into it.
Yeah.
So we're lucky, but it will only last, I think, a moment.
Yeah, he's only seen us live a couple times because we made the mistake of bringing him to shows early on.
Yeah, we quit.
Yeah.
You know, we was like, this is like such mom moment. Like,
yeah.
I, like, one of the places we play, a lot of the places we play are like small venues. You know, we'll just be sitting kind of
bookstore.
In the corner of a bookstore, either on carpet, you know, or all the families are on the carpet, and we might be on some boxes or stools or something. And the first couple times we tried to bring Izzy with a show and have him sit with one of his grandparents or a friend, he would either he would just cry because we were across the room and he couldn't get to us when he was little. Or once he could move.
Which was early.
Yeah, his early walker and an early crawler. He would just come across the room, like, fight his way through all these, like, people that came to enjoy a Saturday morning. And he would just, like, push them over and then, you know, try to sit in my lap while I'm playing to, like, 100 people. And, like, you know, if we do a gag with, like, a banana or something like that, he'd always be like, ah!
Banana?
Yeah, not for me! You know, like... So it's only recently that we can bring him to shows.
All right, last question before we wrap up. And that is, you guys have moved into the world of podcasting and have started a podcast for kids. And I'd love to hear, it's called Ear Snacks. And I'd love to hear what you guys, what the intent is, what you're hoping to do.
Yeah, Ear Snacks is some crazy challenge that we took upon ourselves. This is like, you know, Andrew was pointing fingers at me about the Christmas album, but this was for sure all on him. We wanted to do something that was different than releasing a record. And we wanted to do something that kind of like was a little bit more indicative of the way that we engage with families when we have sing-alongs and shows around town or in different parts of the country. It's a really interactive, fluid thing where, you know, we come with a plan, but we're really kind of trying to figure out what it is those families need that day. The same kind of thing is kind of true of Ear Snacks, which is a podcast that's for kids. It features kids.
Yeah, we interview kids from all over the country and even around the world. We get their parents to do it on their iPhones, basically, and they send them in, and we pick a topic each month.
We try to pick a topic that's like kind of unassuming. So, for example, the upcoming episode in December, which we hope is going to be really great, is called Boxes. So our song Thank You for the Box will be inside that episode. So we take a topic that's like kind of unassuming, something that's like that a kid would be used to, that they would have in their world, that wouldn't be frightening or you know, anything, just kind of something that exists that they know about. And then we try to use it to kind of go somewhere different and bigger and give them a chance to kind of get really curious about the world in some way.
Yeah. What is a box, you know, for a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old, you know, what could you put in a box? What's it made of? When you're done with it, what do you do? What are other box things? Do you remember?
Oh, I mean, all kinds of things. We had one kid was, a lot of kids very adamantly say a box is a square. And then when they think about it and you say, how many sides does a box have? Then they start kind of thinking about what all the sides are.
And they put it together without having to say,
like, let's talk about geometry. Like, let's talk about math. You know, because, like, we were talking about earlier, like, one of our primary goals is to not patronize these kids. It's to really treat them really respectfully and work on their level, but help them stretch without kind of being too overt about it. So the boxes episode, we think will be really fun.
We had the opportunity to interview Antoinette Fortis, who wrote Not a Box, which is a really
cool book.
Yeah, it's a great book.
She is so wonderful, and her
thoughts about parenting.
Yeah, her thoughts about parenting are amazing as well. And so, you know, these episodes, they end up becoming about, they're about boxes, but they're also about, like, what it is to be a kid, what it is to be in a family, what it is to, like, look out your window and think, like, oh, well, that light post that I always see is actually, like, I could think big about that. You know, I could think about that for 30 minutes. And some kids will sit and listen. I mean, the format is still changing. We're still trying to figure it out. Like, our first episode, I think, was, like, 18 minutes, which was great. And then we had a half hour episode. It was like, oh no,
that's too long.
What did we do? You know, like, so hopefully we're somewhere getting into what the right digestible length is of these things. But they've been really fun so far, and we've been able to interview a lot of really great kids and a lot of really great adults. people to.
And I don't know if you guys growing up ever had like tapes you'd listen to in the car or like things that weren't just music that were story kind of based stuff. But we had that and we thought, you know, why isn't someone coming out with that stuff now? Why is it, you know, like, because kids have plenty of videos to watch. That's not a problem, right? And they have plenty of music to listen to, but they don't have like, they don't have a lot of like word thought stuff.
Well, Andrew and Polly, thank you so much for coming on. You guys are incredibly ambitious and I appreciate it because it is very motivating and there's no question that the intelligence and care that you bring to your projects come through your projects, which is what makes them so enjoyable. So keep on keeping on with that. And thank you so much for joining us. And we'll link everybody up to the albums and to the podcast.
Aww. Thank you both. We Thanks, really Teresa. Love being on your show. I'm an actual listener. So I love you guys.
And I try to when I'm not. What else? I don't know what I'm doing.
Listening to 99% Invisible.
Right, right. Yeah, there you go. That's. I'm happy to be in a house where our listenership is divided between these two shows. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Thank,
well,
thank
you. Thank you so much.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right.
So I was at this party the other night, and I met this really funny guy. He was tall and silly, and he had on green pants. But he was, like, telling me this story, and it was, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna eat some grapes. La 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 grapes. La 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 grapes. La 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 grapes.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. I will repeat the intelligence and care that they bring to this. That is what separates the anybody can make kids' music.
Yep.
And then it's garbage with this stuff. With good stuff.
I want to be friends with them now.
I know. I just want to totally go and hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
You know who else we like to hang out with?
Who?
Moms having giant emotional breakdowns.
Oh, yeah, we do.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Have a little cup of coffee, glass of wine.
Yep.
And let somebody let it out.
Hi, One Bed Mother. This is a rant. I have thrush for probably the fourth or fifth time.
Oh.
And I'm just really frustrated that people keep saying, oh, you're so lucky you're still breastfeeding. It's not luck. My daughter's 20 months old, and I'm just really tired of people saying that it's lucky, because it's not something that's lucky. It's something that has taken a lot of work, and having to nurse through things like thrush, it's not like it's something that we do just for fun, and I'm so tired of hearing that it's just something that was lucky. And I don't understand why we can't be, if we can be so supportive of saying moms should be able to feed their babies however they want to, you know, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, formula, not formula, whatever. But could you just tell moms that are working really hard to breastfeed for long periods of time that they're doing a good job? Why does it have to be you're so lucky? Why can't it be, wow, that's amazing that you've breastfed that long. That's awesome. And it must be so hard sometimes, because it is. And I really don't want to have thrush anymore. Thanks. Love you guys.
Oh, thrush.
Awful.
For anybody who doesn't know what thrush is, it's just this like condition you can develop when you're breastfeeding that like hurts you. It can get into your kid's mouth.
Isn't it like
it's like a yeast infection
on your nipple
and in their mouth. I mean, it's just like it's really not nice. I think her larger point though, it was like she had like this line that was so good where, and I think it applies to everything.
Yeah.
Not just breastfeeding, which is just, man, that's really good you're doing that. That must be really hard.
Yeah.
And good job. You know what I mean? Like, it falls into that category of most of the time, people probably aren't like, you're so lucky in some harsh, horrible way.
No, just
like,
just
oh, my God, you must be so done with your baby. You must be blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You're fucking huge. It must be twins. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because we're programmed to just say things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it really is just like, things we're supposed to say that are totally irrelevant. And so I hear you. And you're right.
And it's such like a way of people saying to you like, oh, you should be really grateful for this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're so lucky. Like, you know, when people say you're so lucky, it's like saying, oh, you should be grateful.
And don't complain.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you know, again, you brush to feed your kid till they're 20. Go for it. But that is some fucking work.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. Yeah. And so, you know what? You are doing a good job.
A really good job.
And you have, you know, made a decision for yourself and for your family. And you, I just, that is a hard thing to do.
Yep.
And you are doing a good job. And Thrush fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Big time. Teresa.
Yeah.
What did we learn today? We learned that Teresa has a massive giving tree button.
Do not go near that button.
Do not go near that button. We have learned that it is good to read to your children. And it is probably okay, even if you're reading utter garbage to them sometimes, because you're just trying to get words in their heads.
Yeah.
Right? If you balance out the greats with the backyardigans, everybody's going to be fine.
Sure.
There's so much My Little Pony fucking books in my house.
Oh, yeah, the My Little Pony, yeah.
And some of them are literally just verbatim episodes.
Sure,
Makes me crazy.
But you're sharing a moment together. You're very present together. You're both experiencing the same thing together. That's all positive.
Something we didn't touch on is the, like, when you were so not in the mood to be reading books to your kids, you're just like, the fat cat sat on the mat. And went rat-a-tat-tat. The end. That's not the end. It is the end. I promise it's the end. Well, Katie Bell, we've been reading for 30 minutes. It's been like 10. You know? It's so late.
Have you ever done the, like, start out angry, but then, like, by the end, you're, like, kind of over it. You're like, all right, I'm fine now.
Those are the nights I fight for my book choices. I'm like, I want to see that mouse lose his feet one more time. I have to do it. I need the Zen amount. My name is Nicholas. I live in a hollow tree.
Yeah.
I like to listen to the birds. Mm-hmm. that's where those meditative ones really need to come in.
Yeah.
And if sometimes books get lost, oopsie.
Oops. It'll show up maybe at some point.
It will somewhere.
But there's lots of other books here.
Would you like to try a new book? So, you know what? Books are good.
Yeah.
Overall.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned that children's music is good overall, just like books. You got to pick and choose. You got to find the good stuff. And I think we found some really great stuff with Andrew and Polly today. So we encourage everybody to go check them out. We have learned that Teresa is awesome for getting through that really hard moment.
Thank you.
And I think that moment deserves a lot of credit.
Thank you very much.
I do. Everybody, we all have those moments, whatever they are. And you're doing a really good job getting up and getting through them.
Yeah, you are, guys.
I cannot emphasize enough how easy it is to not do things.
Oh, yeah.
To really choose to not do things that are difficult physically and emotionally. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for the work that is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether that's with kids or whether that's with other things in life, dealing with, you know, ailing relatives or just any challenge that comes up, I think we sometimes get misguided and think it's about these big, huge, monumental things we have to go through. And it's not. It's, you know, dealing with your kid's cold again. It's, you know, doing the nighttime put time, adjusting that, like whatever it is, like you're
getting
doing
up in the middle of the night for some reason
again.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, and
getting
it never
early
stops
again for some reason. Yep.
It never stops, and those are the things that we can lose sight of are the real challenges and are really things that we're doing.
Yeah,
so you guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, you are,
Teresa.
Yeah,
again. You did a really good job last week.
Thank you.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And you did a really good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Biz, you're doing a really good job, too.
Thank you. Everybody is functioning in my house.
Good.
That is good. I will take that achievement. Everybody hang in there. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye. Bye.
I got to low down mama blue. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blue. Low down mama blue. Got to low down mama blue. got a low down mama blues. You know that, right?
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, daddy and baby fussing by, got low down mama blue. Oh, said daddy and baby fussing by, got low down mama
blue. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.